informational item. Madam Clerk, the next one, please.
Thanks. From the Interim Director, Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report regarding mixed-gender patient care units at the Behavioral Health Division. At the September meeting cycle, a follow-up report was requested. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Okay, thank you. We received this report in advance so we could take time to look at it, and I know the committee members took a lot of time. It was very thorough. We've been waiting for this. So I know the chairman had asked for, if you could, about a 10-minute or so verbal report, and then we'll read along with you and then ask questions afterwards if that's okay with the members. So, and thank you for all of your wonderful work on this.
Okay. This is Dr. Luzzi, who really took the lead within Behavioral Health Division in preparing this report. And I'd just like to echo, I think it's excellent. It's extremely thorough. There were a number of avenues covered that she will talk about in terms of how input was solicited, and she will share with you the process as well as the recommendations that have been made.
Okay. Thank you. Please start. Please begin.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to come back today. And hang on, because I'm going to speak fast.
We're ready.
All right. You'll remember we presented the preliminary report in June, and the conclusion at that time was that the units utilized by BHD were the norm, and that before we made any revision to that model, we wanted to take a look at a much more detailed evaluation of the various unit options, and so that's what we did in this report. In terms of methods, just very quickly, we needed to remember the work group, so we added representation from our Office of Consumer Affairs, direct care nursing staff from the unit, nurse manager, our new acute medical director, an evaluation research expert. The study involved, as I think you saw, four phases. So number one, we developed and administered a semi-structured questionnaire to our inpatients on our acute units to assess their feelings of safety on the current units, as well as their preference for single-gender units, phase one. Phase two, we looked at our own inpatient multidisciplinary staff opinions and preferences on a number of different issues. One, their perceptions of patient safety on the units. Current practices, how effective do we think they are? And looking at the future, what are staff's opinions about some various options that we could pursue? Thirdly, we made an attempt to communicate with other public psychiatric hospitals regarding the gender configuration of their acute units. And then fourth, we obtained input from community stakeholders on their thoughts and opinions about male and female patients residing on the same unit as well as single gender units. So let's take a look quickly at what we learned from each of those phases, and I'm going to just try to give you some high-level results because the very detailed ones are in your report. In terms of our own patient perceptions, we administered, carefully developed, carefully worded a semi-structured questionnaire to patients hospitalized on our units over a four-week period in through August and September. We trained two interviewers independent of the clinical treatment team and BHD management, our own client rights specialist and a contract agency, their mental health advocate staff from that agency, both very experienced with interviewing. We got excellent participation. 130 patients participated, roughly 57% men, 43% women, very close to the gender breakdown we see on inpatient. Slightly overrepresented women, which was probably a good thing. All right, so let's take a look at how safe did they say they felt on mixed-gender units. Most of the 130 patients reported feeling somewhat or very safe on the mixed units. 90% of the male patients and nearly 84% of the female patients felt somewhat or very safe on these units with men and women together. We also asked open-ended questions, explain why, and their detailed answers are included in your appendices. We summarize them by thematic category. Their main reasons related to the beneficial interpersonal effects of being on a unit together, and they denied concerns about aggression. There were about 12% of the patients overall who felt somewhat or very unsafe. And the main thing we asked, what would make you feel safer? The main thing that would make them feel safer was improved interpersonal behavior. We also asked the patients who already felt somewhat or very safe, what would make you feel even safer? And nearly 62% of their suggestions as to what would make them feel safer focused on improved staff presence, attitude, and monitoring. Okay, we looked at if a single gender unit were available, would you prefer that? Almost 50% of male and female patients did not prefer to be on a same gender unit. Their main reason was the value of interpersonal interactions between patients and the negative impact they felt a single gender unit would have on these interactions. There was a secondary, less frequent reason in that they cited a potential for aggression on an all-male and all-female unit. About 15% of the men patients and 29% of the female patients indicated they would prefer a single-gender unit if available. The women who so preferred such a unit cited mostly the positive impact they thought having more women-to-women interactions would be. They did cite some concerns about male aggression. And about 30% of the male and female patients were unsure of a preference. They were in the middle. But most of their comments referenced positive interpersonal interactions on the units together. All right. Then lastly, we asked them, if you were on a single gender unit, how do you think you would feel compared to the unit you're on? Safer? No safe, less safe, or no difference. Only 25% of the total of men and women patients indicated that they expected to feel safer on a same-gender unit. In terms of men, a higher percentage of men, about 38%, expected to feel less safe. About 23% of the men expected to feel more safe on an all-male unit. Those who felt that they would be less safe were mostly focused on the expectation that there would be more aggression on such a unit. In terms of women, about 32% felt they would actually be less safe and 29% more safe on an all-female unit. It's kind of similar to the men. Those who expected to feel less safe were mostly focused on their expectation that there would be more interpersonal conflict and aggression between women if they were all on the same unit together. Those who said they would feel safer expected to have more interpersonal benefits of having all women and to feel somewhat safer from aggression. Lastly, we asked women, women only, how they would feel, what would be their preference for having a women-only lounge on a mixed unit. Women did not express a definite preference for this to be made available on the unit. Almost 40% were opposed. In fact, curiously, they expected that it would have a negative impact on the interactions. They were concerned about verbal and physical aggression breaking out between the women. About 32% did prefer a women-only lounge, mostly because they thought it could help with interpersonal interactions and communication among women. Okay, let's move quickly to staff now. BHD, multidisciplinary acute staff, on working on the units. A survey was carefully constructed by the work group with guidance from our research and evaluation ex-psychologists. It was distributed to all of the multidisciplinary staff, including CNAs, working on the units, specifically asking opinions around the sexual safety of male and female patients on the units. We asked 10 questions. Some involved objective ratings, and many of them involved a follow-up question, allowing staff the opportunity to explain and give reasons and add more information. We looked at, first, their opinion and concerns about men and women patients on the same units. Two, looking at their opinions of how effective are 11 practices we've already put in place on these units. And then opinion about future strategies that we might use to improve safety, such as an all-male, all-female, men-only, women-only lounges. And then lastly, we asked them their preference, should such units be available, for working on a men-only, women-only, or mixed unit. 82 staff participated, about a 35% return rate, lower than we would have desired, but perfectly acceptable for this kind of research and to learn something from. All right, in terms of staff perceptions on how safe, sexually safe they feel patients are on the mixed gender units, more than 60% of staff who responded thought men and women patients were somewhat or very safe on the same unit. About 40% thought that patients were somewhat or very unsafe. Their concerns in regard to sexual safety had to do with vulnerability to sexual harassment, intimidation, exploitation, and abuse, and also their comments related to the unit configuration and the patient mix of violent patients on the same unit with vulnerable patients. A number of comments also fell into the theme of what we call staffing pattern, and that is citing short staffing for adequate monitoring and zone coverage. We listed 11 practices we put in place to enhance sexual safety and asked staff to rate these overall. The overall rating of all 11 taken as a whole were rated as somewhat effective for ensuring the sexual safety of patients on the unit. The highest rated practices by our staff were the locked community bathrooms and the unit zone surveillance system, which nearly 40% of staff felt were very effective. We asked for other suggestions to improve the sexual safety on mixed units, and these fell along the lines of improved staffing pattern, better supervision, training, and teamwork, and the hospital configuration of the patient mix. We asked about attitude toward single-gender units and how helpful they thought it would be for managing patient sexual safety for BHD to develop plans for an all-women's unit. Nearly half of the staff thought it would be somewhat or very helpful to develop plans for an all-women's unit. And there were a number who were neutral or unsure or felt that this unit would not be very helpful. They cited the benefits of having a more normalizing environment and learning with the opposite sex. They were concerned about preventing same-gender sexual activity. Almost half of the staff thought it would be somewhat or very helpful to develop plans for an all-male unit. In particular, they thought it would be helpful in regard to high-risk men, separating them out from taking advantage of vulnerable females and providing a less violent environment for the rest of the population. I'm kind of moving along here quickly for the sake of time. Interesting, in terms of their own preference for work assignment, nearly half of the staff who responded would not prefer to work on an all-women's unit. They cited how stressful it would be. Secondly, they enjoyed the benefits of a mixed-gender recovery environment. Likewise, most staff did not prefer or they were neutral or unsure about working on an all-male unit due to what they saw as the potential for aggression and violence. Most staff overall preferred to work on a mixed-gender unit because of variety and the benefits of that environment. In terms of single-gender lounges, pretty much like the patients, very few staff are in favor of this. 25% in favor of a women-only lounge, 20% in favor of a men-only lounge. They really didn't see this as being very helpful, and it would just be another thing that they had to monitor. Okay, in terms of phase three, we made an attempt to contact public psychiatric hospitals in 5 Midwest states. I chose them because of their proximity to large urban areas. We want to compare ourselves to like facilities. They were contacted about their willingness to share any relevant experience about the gender configuration of their units, specifically asking if they had single-gender units now or any time within the last 5 years, and would they be willing to share their experience from that. An email, a letter describing our facility, our length of stay, was sent to either the hospital chief clinical officer, chief operating officer, administrator of 24 Midwestern facilities, and in addition to the state of Pennsylvania. I received responses from 9 hospitals who had civil acute inpatient units. Important, acute length of stay, not long term. they indicated none had single gender units, and most who responded had worked there for decades, and their units have always been co-ed for as long as they can remember. Only those facilities that had formerly state-designated forensic units had some of their units as single-gender. Okay, phase four, We solicited input from community stakeholders, consumers, family, behavioral health providers, advocates, and other interested parties. We're invited to provide input in regard to our evaluation of the current practice of mixed gender acute adult inpatient units. We requested specifically their thoughts and opinions about two things: male and female patients residing on the same acute inpatient unit at BHD, and two, having patients reside on all male or all female units. We received responses from a total of 216 community stakeholders. Roughly 52% self-identified as consumer, 4% family, 16% provider, 17% advocate, and 11% other. We, as the report indicates, we sorted the responses into two categories, those citing primarily advantages, those citing primarily disadvantages, because it wasn't phrased as an either-or. In terms of mixed-gender units, nearly half of the respondents offered comments citing advantages of mixed-gender units, and slightly more than a half cited reasons against such arrangements. Consumers and families as a group tended to be somewhat more favorable in their opinions of men and women on the same unit, whereas advocates and others were more skewed in their focus of disadvantages. The advantages that respondents shared fell into two main categories. One had to do with the therapeutic recovery environment, and those comments cited the beneficial effect on interpersonal interactions in the milieu, and that it was a common practice standard. The other theme was quality of care and patient-centered treatment, and these opinions cited that the core issue is not really gender, but it's quality of care, staffing, supervision, screening, and treatment for the most dangerous and vulnerable. The disadvantages of mixed-gender units, those comments fell into two main themes. A similar theme, recovery environment, but this time the comments cited the negative impact on interpersonal interactions and the milieu. And then the second theme category had to do with vulnerability, trauma, and patient mix, and these comments mentioned the impact on negative impact on safety, the potential for harassment, abuse, and re-traumatization. In terms of single-gender units, approximately two-thirds of the respondents shared what could be benefits of gender segregation, and one-third focused on advantages. And for the sake of time, again, the advantages of single-gender unit fell into the same categories as the disadvantages of mixed gender. So they were just the reverse, and I would just refer you to the report for the details on those. So, conclusions. What the work group concluded is there is no one answer. There is no overwhelming preference or clear option which is right. There are varying opinions and preferences. However, among all groups, there's a recurrent theme. And what is that? Gender alone should not be the primary factor in determining best placement. And two, quality of care and recovery focus will not be adequately addressed by simple resort to single-sex segregation. There are other equally important factors, if not more so, that need to be considered for creating a safe and therapeutic inpatient environment, and those are severity of illness and the risk of violence and vulnerability. Our conclusion, the work group's conclusion, is that segregation by gender of all of the acute inpatient units at BHD is too indiscriminate and compartmentalized an approach, and instead we propose a configuration of the four units that offers a blended model which we feel is more progressive, flexible, and pragmatic. That model, that configuration that we recommend to the administrator is to create, number one, a 12-bed intensive treatment unit, an ITU, which would be expected to be predominantly, if not always, all male. Two, a combined women's option med psych unit. Three, two mixed gender acute general adult treatment units. All right, a couple comments about the ITU, the intensive treatment unit. This would be designated for patients with high risk for violence, including sexual acting out. It can be presumed to be predominantly, if not always, all male. But that is not the defining characteristic of it. It's an intensive treatment unit. Now, most women with high aggression potential can usually be managed in the general population with enhanced monitoring, and other facilities say the same thing. The work group is was united in its stand that the unit not be intended to be or referred to as a secure unit. All of our units are secure. It's not a forensic unit. We don't do designated formal forensic services, and we're in no position to do those. It's not a detention unit. We're not a correctional facility. It's an intensive treatment unit, and that is what facilities call these units. It must have reduced beds, and this is pretty much the standard. We recommend a capacity of 12 beds, half the normal census. Now, the implication, therefore, is BHD would need to reduce its overall capacity from 96 to 84 beds. The benefits are what? It achieves a number of things. It achieves separation from the general population of predominantly those male patients with a higher violence potential. This separation addresses the main safety concerns of staff and patients, especially vulnerable male patients and many female patients. However, the concerns of women patients are more complex due to higher rates of trauma and may not be fully addressed by segregation of the high-risk men. For this reason, we propose that we take one of our units and create a combined women's option med psych treatment unit. This unit would consist of two populations. Currently, the unit has a vulnerable geriatric population and some complicated younger med psych patients. But the majority of the remainder of the beds would be prioritized for female patients at heightened risk of vulnerability to inappropriate sexual behavior, abuse, and violence. Hence, the common theme here is vulnerability. It's along different dimensions, but it would be shared in that sense. Assignment would be by medical staff assessment and or patient choice, depending upon clinical safety risks and bed availability. Based upon the data we looked at from 2009 and 10, around approximately the number of geriatric patients on that unit at any given time and adjusted for the census reduction, it is conceivable that at any given point there would be enough beds remaining to accommodate up to half of the women on acute adult at any given time. So, the configuration proposes that the remaining two units remain mixed gender units with separate hallways, as is currently the case. We would hope that with separation of patients with the highest vulnerability potential and the highest violence potential, that this would allow these units to better serve the general population in a more therapeutically focused milieu. So in closing, it was the unanimous agreement of the work group that we felt this configuration offers a more individualized, needs-based, trauma-informed approach than mere division by gender. It addresses many of the concerns of BHD inpatient staff, our own inpatients, community consumers, and other stakeholders, as well as it coheres with contemporary practice of other public psychiatric hospitals. Now, aside from requiring a 12-bed reduction in acute adult inpatient capacity, the configuration is feasible, it's practical, it offers flexibility with census management, it addresses gender-based safety concerns while affirming the current improvement practices in place. The report and the recommendation is advisory to the BHD administrator, and should there be endorsement to proceed, obviously there would need to be a detailed planning process looking at three main areas, aside from the fact of the bed reduction and how that would be handled, as well as the fiscal impact of that. But we'd have work to do in the area of human resource, staffing it, the composition of staff, skill set, okay. Program development, a clear program model for that ITU, development of programming on the women's option med psych unit, admission discharge criteria, all those things we would need to lay out. And lastly, physical environment, operational issues, census management, would we need to do some physical environment modifications on the ITU. The estimated timeline for implementation of the configuration should we proceed, would be for the quarter three of this year, which would put it sometime between July and September. So, thank you. I think I exceeded 10 minutes.
Supervisor Dimitrievich.
Thank you. No, it wasn't that you exceeded. It's just so much information. Very, very, very thorough. Well, first thing I'd like to do is receive and place on file so that, of course, all the members of the county board would be able to see this. And I'm sure we can email because it's a huge report, very thorough. One thing that I saw kind of throughout the whole report was the staffing patterns. Is that, because I heard you going over your conclusions, and I see the change of more of the facility and the configuration, but I guess I just wanted a little bit more information on that, because I guess I'm a firm believer in the fact that we're looking at all these structural and facility changes and whatnot, but I think a reoccurring theme that's, at least to me, it comes up in a lot of these surveys, is that people felt like there just wasn't an adequate amount of staff. Or I don't know if it's amount of staff or the patterns. Like, I'm trying to understand that as a policymaker.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So first, thank you, Madam Chairwoman and Supervisor Dimitrievich. I would just caution that, first of all, we have to remember we have X number of staff who chose to respond. So if you read in the study, like with all studies, you know, whether there was a bias, people felt a certain way and chose to respond. So, you know, so just caution us about that. If you look in the appendices, and that's why I included the remarks in the appendices, collapse just for the sake of space. But we just have to be careful when we look at the number that cited staffing pattern issues. That's what we chose to call that theme. When you actually look at the appendix, you'll be able to see how many remarks were actually in that category, how many, you know, what percentage of the comments fell in that category. So we have to remember, let's say, and I don't have the table in front of me, that of the 82 people who responded, and those who chose to make an additional comment, of those who wrote comments, 10% of those said something about staffing. So it may not represent a majority. The other thing is, I think if I think I've got a definition of some of these themes. In terms of staffing pattern, the definition we chose for that is the adequacy and composition of the staff. It wasn't always more. It was, sometimes it was. Sometimes it was not, if we had the staff, not more staff than we're budgeting, if we had the staff we're supposed to have to cover the zone, then we think it could even be more effective than it is. You know, people call in, or you're short, or somebody has to cover for lunch. So it wasn't always more than the existing allotment. It's just sometimes not everybody being there or being in the right spot at the right time, not being able to cover assignments that are in place, so not necessarily asking for more. And some of it had to do with teamwork. Some of it fell in the staff performance area around supervision. It could even be more effective if there was better oversight of some of the staff. Staff performance. So it's, we called it staffing pattern. It's both number as well as composition.
Thank you. And then one other follow-up that'll probably be it for me for Ms. Lydate. I guess the question is, you know, where do we go from here? Because it is advisory. You know, I think what I gather from this is it's a lot of the conclusions are based, again, on the vulnerability rather than the gender, because same gender can have similar vulnerability and whatnot. And through this whole process, I mean, it's been a learning experience for all of us. I think it's become clear that having vulnerable people next to people who are very aggressive, no matter what your gender is hard for our patients as well as our staff. And so you did a very thorough analysis here. I'm just wondering what the next step is, because I think you said something like a couple months from now, 6 months. And then also we're getting our new, perhaps our new director. So just if you could help me understand that, Ms. Lede.
Well, I think a couple things. One, I think timing is wise. If we, you know, you know, we endorse and continue with having a new BHD administrator. That's certainly something I think they would want to hone in on as well. And I think we would have to, one of the things that Dr. Luzzi indicated about the number of bed reduction, mm-hmm. I think we have to look at that and assess whether or not how we accomplish that. We also are looking at that the intensive unit, which has a smaller number of beds with an increased staffing level, what that will mean. So I think we really have to do an assessment of the effects of implementing that, what that will do in terms of the number of beds that we have available. And we certainly, mm-hmm. as I think has been noted in to this group, that we've seen an increase in the number of individuals coming through site crisis. And so we don't want to get in a situation where we run into this waiting list again in terms of our census and our bed capacity. So I think we have to look at this kind of in totality of a fiscal analysis, what effects it will have on our overall census, and then I think, you know, make, you know, I think a clear recommendation. However, given the kind of challenges we saw with some of the individuals, I do think we want to pursue the intensive treatment unit. I think that, you know, if we can make that happen, it just makes sense. It will be a way. We've seen that they're not only staff, but in terms of some of the aggressive behaviors, we could assess that. And if there's a way, that goes to the safety issue, I think, for us. It's the safety for individuals that are there, safety for other patients, safety for staff, and I think it provides, you know, kind of a better treatment method and a model. So I think we'd want to explore that, and if we could make this happen, we could come back with recommendations about what the effects would be and then what it would mean if we were to implement this.
Mm-hmm. I think what where timing is ideal is that we are currently in a holding pattern of being 12 beds down because of our psychiatry shortage. Mm-hmm. So we're there now, mm-hmm. and we have been for several months. Now, it can get dicey, so we don't want to cut it too close, but mm-hmm. we are there now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now would be kind of the time is right now to decide whether or not this is a census we could continue to manage ourselves at, or is it cutting it too close? The fiscal impact is a whole other story around, yeah. You know, what the impact would be there. But we have been holding at a reduced census on two of our units anyway, which is down. We're down by 12 anyway, so.
One other point of order, Madam Chairman. I did make the motion to receive and place on file, and I just needed a point of clarification. Did the Community Advisory Board receive this information officially?
No, this is being presented to Health and Human Needs. We've not done, you know, any other reviews at this point.
Just because an important part of their mission, of course, is safety. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, Chair, research staff, I'm trying to figure out how this works. Do I make a formal
motion
to do that as well? Or does that happen naturally?
And as long as you're doing that, you may want to send it also to the building, the BHD building.
Yeah, I was thinking
yes,
that.
Yes, to both.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I have a motion of, you know, receive and place on file, and then also to refer to the Behavioral Health Facility Committee and the Community Advisory Board. There we go. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Okay. Supervisor Rice.
Thank you, Doctor, for your leadership on this and for the comprehensive report. I think it underscores for us the complexity of the population and the difficult issues that you all are dealing with there. My question, I just wanted to expand and dig a little deeper on this creation of the ITU and understand a little bit more about the necessity for the reduction of the adult or acute adult inpatient bed capacity, how that flows either from the survey or from other programmatic recommendations that you have.
Sure. Well, the work group operated from a very pragmatic stance in that we were not going to recommend something that wasn't feasible, like we need a fifth or sixth unit. So we worked with four units. Given that you have four units to work with and you want one of them to be an ITU, that ITU has to be, it cannot be a unit of 24 high-risk primarily males. And no other place runs a, they call them PICUs, psychiatric intensive care units. They don't run them at full capacity. If their typical units are at 20, their PICUs are at 10. They run them at half capacity. And for obvious reasons, you don't want 24, in this case, predominantly high-risk males on a unit. You have issues around safety issues just from mere congestion alone, physical space, boundaries. And what did our male patients tell us themselves? They expect that. In fact, 18 of them said they expected more aggression and to be killed for those. Those were their exact words if you look at the comments in the back. Most places, including other large county-operated facilities who have PICUs, they're at half the capacity. Dr. Harding agreed with that, too. So you don't want to put, it's not as simple as putting all of those. You'd have quite a safety issue. And dumping more staff there is not going to help. You just have congestion issues. So they're carefully structured. You want to reduce crowding. You want to have more single rooms. You want to spread things out. So you want to look at the composition of staff, high level of structure, high level of programming, behavioral management.
Thank you. That's helpful. And then in the ITU, then would the ITU have a comparable staffing level as the other units?
We would need to look at that. Most ITUs have a higher staffing level, but the composition of those staff may look different. Okay. The one county facility I spoke to, for example, they make heavy use of occupational therapy and rec therapy. And the director told me, look, I have these guys structured all day. They're doing things. Okay, so it may not necessarily mean a ton more nurses. Obviously, the patient-to-staff ratio is going to be lower, but it's also the composition of the staff and what you do with them.
Uh-huh. Thank you. And just a final question, that is any advice or recommendations with respect to staff gender changes?
Mixed. Okay. Folks I talked to who run similar units said, absolutely, I use mixed gender staff. I would have it no other way. He said, skill sets, what's important.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I've got, and I think we have an all-male Hilltop unit. With a number of female staff. He said some of my female staff are excellent with these guys, and it's a good relationship, and others aren't. So I think we'd really want to look at skill set of staff and preference for working there and agreement with the philosophy and the treatment focus of the unit. So, yes, it does not need to be all male.
Thank you.
Anything further? Okay, we have. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for all of the time that it's taken to put this together. I know this was not easy at all, but hopefully now other people will be able to use this information and move forward. We have a motion to receive and place on file, and then we have also a motion to refer to the Community Advisory Board, as well as the BHD Planning Committee. All right, so on the motion to refer, we can do them all at once? Okay. On the great big motion.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Dmitrievich.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
5 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to receive and place on file and refer is approved.
One of the recommendations as part of the county audit that was done by Mr. Hare was for the department to look at the whole issue of mixed gender units and report back to the committee in about 3 months. So certainly, once the community advisory group, you know, the small county board of supervisors groups weighs in on it, we will need to address that recommendation in terms of a formal plan to proceed, not to proceed, and we'll continue to do the fiscal analysis and the impact on the facility in terms of moving forth. So we'll be prepared to address that recommendation.
Okay. I think probably what we'd like to do is have the community advisory board get back to us with a recommendation regarding this subject and what they would like to see us do, considering it as part of their charge. We are on item number 16.